Well, that should do it. Hello, and welcome to We Got a Podcast, a podcast about Dragon Ball. From A to Z, from Earth to Namek to Sadala, they cover it all. My name is Zé, also known as Trivia God Zenpai, taking over the airwaves today as special guest moderator.
Hey.
What is happening?
Yeah.
I'm taking over.
Oh god, he hacked the mainframe. He's in.
Did we hear this with Mike first?
I'm not ready for the trivia. I don't know what to do.
You are not ready.
Oh, no.
I got to get in and change the password, guys. I'm so sorry. I don't know how
okay. to say it. Yeah. From Big Booty Bitches, you changing that? I love that password.
I know I love it. It's my lifeblood. But look, now he's here. I've got to, clearly security needs to be beefed up.
I'm Big Booty Doug.
And I'm Small Booty Ken.
And I'm the just right booty, Randy.
The Goldilocks of booties.
And they're the world's strongest under the heavens, Trio the Dangerous, here every other week to talk your ear off about fights, goofs, and everything else in the Dragon Ball cosmos. So, Little Birdie told me that you would be announcing the overall GT trivia score, and I thought I'd be here for the announcement.
Yeah,
I too would like to know this information.
I'm okay. I'm all right.
I can guarantee you, even I don't know. I'm the trivia deity, not the omniscient deity.
Yeah, that's badass.
But since I am a deity, I just grabbed Randy's moderator rights and thought I'd be moderating today. And since it's been a month since you all last saw GT, I thought we'd also bring up the main topic for this episode, which is a GT retrospective.
Right. Has it really been a month since we saw GT?
My mental health has been so much better.
Yeah. I feel like I'm sleeping better.
I'm still getting tweaks. I feel like it was just last week we saw GT already.
Nope. You're probably thinking that because the last episode was probably your favorite ever.
It had to have been, yeah. I'm nervous eating right now because all the trivia, so I'll be chewing.
Sorry about not being able to have figure trivia because it's definitely not my wheelhouse.
I brought the trivia anyway.
This is the Gohan Super Buu figure from the Jax line,
doing
approximately 2000.
Somebody stop before I get excited.
So, fine folks, what's been up with all of you? Doug?
Oh, I'm just gearing up for Final Fantasy VII, man. We're almost there, buddy. I haven't played the Junon DLC yet that just released for it, but I got plans tonight to see family, and I'm going to come home and get right into it, so I'm excited.
Cool. How about you, Ken?
So I played the FF7 Rebirth demo last night. Well, how do I say this? I'm not impressed.
Okay.
I'm in. But
with the graphics?
Coming back into this game, no, that's not even an issue. From how far back I sit, performance is perfectly fine.
Okay.
It's just these cutscenes are directed very strangely.
Oh.
The acting, so I play these games in English because in an action game, I don't want to be worrying about subtitles, so I'm just listening in English. It feels like with Cloud's performance, they cut out any natural pauses the actor would have made. Sephiroth sounds appropriately like neurodivergent, I guess. So I think that's good casting. Anyways, the combat feels clunky and unresponsive, so I don't know. I'm in, but the demo didn't really put a great taste in my mouth.
Oh, no.
Last night.
I'm going to have to test that out myself. So, oh, my God.
Yeah.
What about you, Randy?
I guess also Final Fantasy VII related stuff. I went and saw Advent Children in theaters the other night.
Yeah.
I know that Doug was there. Not at my theater, of course. But
you don't know.
There wasn't that many people in mine. So
popcorn and gummies, Randy? I don't know. I mean, that was a bad idea.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Going overboard. So Final Fantasy has kind of been my life recently, and I look forward to it taking over once again next week with the release of Rebirth.
So this is clearly, besides a Dragon Ball house, this is also a Final Fantasy house.
It's true.
Final Fantasy VII house.
Specifically, yeah.
Hey, I love a lot of Final Fantasy, so.
Get that 14 stuff out of my house. I don't know. Leave it at Mike's house.
Canceled. Can I make a confession here?
Yes.
I have never played a single Final Fantasy game.
That's fine.
Canceled. Get him out of here.
No, I'm not saying that.
I hacked that. Cannot cancel me.
I'm excited. I'm excited that you get to experience it. You have the possibility of experiencing it if you ever want to.
Yeah. Well, really, just play 10. That's the best one.
10 is a good, good warm-up, a good intro.
Well, it is on PS4.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or just jump into Rebirth. I mean, remake.
Yeah, that's like Star to get Raditz. Do not do that.
Well, I am like super, super hipster guy. So what have I been playing recently? I just jumped 13 years too late into Skyrim. And, and I was originally just planning on, you know, this is super popular, but I probably will not like it just because it doesn't really seem like my kind of thing. And then it turns out I already have 77 hours on it. And that makes sense. Kind of actually really fun.
That's Skyrim for you. Oh, yeah.
Yep. I think this is probably the first time in like forever I will consciously not try to 100% finish because otherwise it will consume my life.
Yeah, you'll never get back to Yakuza.
Yeah, I will probably try to get back into Yakuza like around summer because Yakuza is kind of my summer game. So yeah, then I will start Yakuza 4 because I already did 0, Kiwami 2, and 3.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
So before we get into the GT trivia overall score, shall we go into our main topic, which is our Dragon Ball GT retrospective?
Let's do it. I like that we're using the score.
Yeah.
We need to keep the people engaged.
Find out.
That's true. People are looking in the chapter breakdowns. All right, where is it? Where is it?
We need to
put in the comments who you think is the winner.
I can pretty much spoil you. I don't even know the score, but I can pretty much spoil you. I'm not going to be the winner, so.
I don't know about that.
But now that you've all finished rewatching Dragon Ball GT and now that a month has passed and you've all had time to let your impressions sink in a little bit, what did you generally think about it? And maybe let's do this topic by topic. So, in terms of writing the story itself, what did you guys think about GT?
Which part of it?
Yeah, can we break it up? Because I think the first 40 episodes, really great, actually, looking back on it. Everything after that... let's just delete that.
Really great.
Thanos snap half of the show away out of here.
I don't know. Really great.
Looking through my notes here, we had Matsui, Kubota, Maekawa, Oito, Kubota, Yajima, Takegami. We had a series of writers on the series early on.
Yeah.
And then once we hit Super 17, that broke down to just two writers, Maekawa and Oito, but still overwhelmingly Maekawa. So I think if you want to see where the weak link is in this writing team, I think it's very clearly Maekawa.
It's interesting to see that a lot of people started jumping ship midway through, and then that reflected itself on the quality of the writing. Because you can see in the very first episodes that there's a clear intention of doing something different, of maybe bringing Dragon Ball back to its roots. With a lot of different environments, a lot of different characters, a lot of different story beats. And then once you finish with Baby, then it's like Super 17 and the dragons. It's just like, well, let's beat up the bad guys and like go for the Z story beats that people like. And they do it in a way that it shows that they don't really know why it worked originally.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like soulless.
It's so strange because we had our issues with the baby arc. I know Doug had more issues than Randy and I did, but we had issues with it. But overall, I think we were still pretty positive on those first 40 episodes.
Especially looking back on it, like just the general feeling I feel of it is like, yeah, the baby stuff was really good. But maybe that's because how bad the later stuff is. It made it look even better.
Right.
Yeah. The funny thing for me personally is that, well, I did read the Dragon Ball manga about five times, four in Portuguese and then another one in Japanese. GT is probably the piece of Dragon Ball media I watched the most just because the VHS here in Portugal was widely available.
Yeah.
And I was 9, so I could watch it. All I wanted, and I watched each episode probably like 10 times each. So I pretty much know the series by heart. And yeah, the more you go on with the series, the less engaging it feels, despite still having some beats here and there. But I was about to say something, but maybe I will save it for the overall direction and the music. But does anyone want to say anything else about the writing overall?
I think that, you know, even though we have, I feel, a big quality dip later on in the series, Mr. Satan, consistently super well written, and Vegeta, super well handled. So at least those two came out pretty much unscathed.
I couldn't agree less. Mr. Satan, maybe. Vegeta, I'm mad that they regressed his character back to what he was pre-Boo.
But this is different Vegeta. It's like it's more mature Vegeta. Vegeta
Daddy that... Vegeta, please.
Exactly. Daddy of two, he had to have grown Doug.
So, Doug, I think there are two moments I think you're latching on to.
Uh-huh.
Not to sit here like your therapist.
Please.
But your GT therapist.
I think you're latching on to episode 41, Vegeta, which that's the tournament episode where he really wants to fight Goku. And I think you're latching on to Vegeta not wanting to do the dance a second time.
Yeah, and a lot that, I guess so, but a lot of little moments, too. It's just like, that's not what this Vegeta would say kind of deal. But, yeah, I feel like we discussed that already. Priorly.
Yeah. I don't know. I think on the whole, I agree with Randy. I think Mr. Satan and Vegeta are the shining stars. I can't even say that about Goku because we identified so many moments in the like last run of episodes where Goku is like acting like a hitman almost. Just yeah. Cold and soulless, and it's not him.
I think we could also agree that Oob got shafted so hard in this entire series. Yeah. So.
One thing that really, really irked me, and this is one of my favorite, this is probably my favorite episode in the entire series, which is, well, you read my comment when you last reviewed GT, which is episode 63. And then Gohan and the Trunks and Goten and Vegeta, they all go to fight the One Star Dragon. And then just like, you know, Oob, you can take my mother back. He's like, you can go. It's fine. It's like, Oob is probably stronger than all of those people. Maybe combined.
Yeah, it's so funny. Yeah, it is such a good scene.
Go
but yeah.
fight!
Yeah. Oob, turn him into candy. What are we doing? Yeah.
Done and done.
Well, Vegito was able to fight back, so.
True, actually. So maybe wouldn't have.
How's Patara magic, though? Who knows?
Possibly.
After writing about... What did you think about the overall art style of the series?
Well, Uchiyama, are you there?
We lost Studio Cockpit. That was the biggest bummer. So not having them around for some episodes here and there.
Yeah.
Uchiyama phoning it in every episode he's on. And I wouldn't say, like, Uchiyama is obviously of a certain caliber of artists, but... He was competent through Dragon Ball and inoffensive in Dragon Ball Z. He fell apart in GT.
Yeah.
He had like one good episode, but that was only because in the section of episodes we were watching, it was the best one of the four. And I can't remember which one that was, but we were like, wow, okay. Uchiyama actually did okay this go around, but otherwise.
He gave us what we expected, whereas everyone else missed the mark.
Well, during this time, isn't it when they kind of switch over the anime industry into using computers more for like coloring in stuff? Like,
am I wrong? Cell animated and cell painted.
Exactly.
It was still cell painted? Okay. Well, I guess just the color palette they chose to stick with the whole theme of the show didn't lend itself to Uchiyama's art style that well either, if that makes sense.
Very flat.
Yeah. I feel like Uchiyama is someone that was more suited for an older style of animation, like 80s and prior.
Yeah.
Whereas the animation industry evolved a lot during the 90s, and he was still stuck in his ways, and that's why it clashed a lot with all of the other studios.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that happens a lot. I was going to say Toyotaro, but that's not right. Yamamuro, in the 90s, there was parts in GT, kicked butt. But, you know, as time goes on, see, Ken,
exactly.
What's Ken's face here? What are we trying to communicate?
Ooh,
you know. That was good. Okay.
Yeah, it was good.
Then Tony Banderas is like, oh.
So now
it's not so great.
Yamamuro is the modern day Uchiyama. You heard it here first.
I wouldn't even say that. I think he's definitely fallen from where he used to be, but I don't think he's fallen as hard or started as low as Uchiyama did.
Oh, no. He definitely didn't start as low. Yamamuro was like peak during the 90s. So
yeah. Doug brought up color palette, you know, talking about the art that it just kind of didn't suit things. I tried to look at this as if a continuation of Z. Because Ken, you started watching the last episode of Z before jumping into GT. And I was like, okay, the colors aren't as weird as I remember them being, but still there's something weird about them and I can't quite place it. It might just be some sort of flatness, you know, the shading and the highlights that we've added to everything. I don't know. I'm just going to throw that out there.
They give Goku a tan, which he loses when he turns Super Saiyan 4. Yeah.
I like tan Goku. I think that we should go back and have that be...
It fits his, like, hick nature to be out in the sun so much and have that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we should get tan Super Saiyan 4.
One thing I really liked art style wise was when the episodes that were set on planet the pink sky overall, I really liked the ambiance it gave those few episodes because it's not every day you see that and it looked really distinct. I personally really liked it.
It's like when we're on Namek in Z having those green skies. Yeah. It just gives everything a different feel.
Or the Spring High planet with the purple sky. Like, it's awesome.
Exactly. It makes those few episodes really distinct from all the other ones.
Yeah. This is a quick aside, but I remember when we finally got to the Trunks episodes when stuff was airing on Toonami here in the States and how weird it was to see a blue sky again.
Yeah, yeah. Because even the Saiyan Saga, I think they, like, always fought during, like, twilight or whatever, so it was kind of always sunset. Yeah.
That fight goes into the sunset.
Yeah.
So... I think we pretty much discussed the overall art style. This is probably the one part where Doug will want to contribute the most. Music.
What? Oh, yeah, the lack of it, absolutely. There's the same tracks over and over again that are not thematically, like, they don't go well together with what is shown on the screen. It's so annoying. And I got sick of it by, like, 10 episodes in, I feel like.
And that's fault of the director. Mm-hmm. So I do believe the director is the one who makes those calls of where to put certain tracks in an episode.
Mm-hmm.
I felt early on, I was pretty down on Tokunaga. I think when we did our first, like, before we were ready to watch GT, but we were talking about GT, I was pretty down on it. And the music placement, Doug, you're 100% right, is hit or miss throughout the whole series. But I don't hate Tokunaga's music like I used to. I just, hate how it's used most of the time. Yeah.
Right. Music placement kind of really suffered. And also, I just feel that they didn't get enough tracks. They didn't have a lot to pull from, perhaps, you know. So
because we hear, like, in Dragon Ball Z, we hear the same tracks used over and over again, but not that often. And, like, when you hear, you're like, oh, yeah, that tune, that jingle, like, you remember. But you miss one's like, yeah, we just heard this 5 minutes ago. You're using this one again? It sucks.
Well, yeah. Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z had tons of variations on the same track.
Mm-hmm. That too. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I think that probably the biggest issue here is that it's not that I dislike the music itself. It's probably the placement and most likely also the repetition of it. Because the musics themselves, I don't think they're really bad. But for example, episodes like that one, I was really hoping you would discuss that when you reviewed those episodes, that scene with the 4-star dragon, with that horribly placed piece of music. Yeah. God, even when I was little, I was like, that's a really odd music choice here, but okay, I guess. My goodness.
They're bad at it. We'll say that.
And they really had no business still playing Hitori Jinai towards the end of the series.
Well, what about the overall direction? What did you think about it in GT?
In which aspect?
Like, for example, do you feel like the story and the themes the series was trying to convey, do you think they were well conveyed? Do you think the battle moments were hyped? Do you think the character moments were transmitted well? What do you think overall?
So I think the only time the series has any theming is in the baby arc, of course, with just a theme of, like, revenge or you know, the cycle of revenge, right? Where baby's stuck in revenge for the Saiyans who destroyed his homeworld.
Well, I don't really know about that. I think the evil dragons also had the theme of being being accountable for the things you do, and I feel like it was something that they were trying to they had on reserve from the very beginning of the series because it's such a good idea.
Yeah,
but by the time they got there, most of the writers had gone, and so they couldn't execute it as well as they hoped.
Yeah,
they
did not hit it on the, they did not hit it on the nail of the head. Like, they didn't execute it as well as it could have done. It, it they didn't it should have been drilled into our heads more that this is the thing. It's not just like, oh, which dragon are you? Which dragon are you? This one? Okay, let's move on now. Let's fight. It should have been more intertwined with the story and maybe how they defeated the dragon or who defeated the dragon, that kind of style.
We touched on this in our last episode where Shenlong is asking Goku, you know why this happened, didn't you? And it's like, no, Shenlong, after like the fourth summon, should have said something.
Yeah.
Like, hey, don't keep doing this. Nobody knew. So he's to talking, be held accountable.
Yeah, like, you knew, Goku.
If you don't know the consequences from the beginning, they don't know that there's consequences until the Elder Kaioshin starts getting on their case about it. And even then, in the original ending to the manga, it ends with Toriyama, or the narrator, saying, and they would always have the Dragon Balls there for them. So the promise of the way the manga ends, which was changed in the Kanzenban ending, is that, hey, it's
cool. It's chill.
That they've been doing this. Don't worry about
it. The Kais don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah. From that, I have always resented the concept of the evil dragons.
I see
what you're saying about being held accountable, but if you don't know the consequences from the beginning.
Yeah. It would have played better if this was the first time this had happened to the Dragon Ball. So like no one knew that there would be consequences. This is the first time I guess these are consequences, as opposed to it retroactively being like, no, we told you.
Mm. Besides just the dragon stuff, I feel that we introduced Pan kind of as like, this is going to be our secondary main character and she's really important and things are going to happen with her. We're going to watch her develop and change. And then they just kind of drop the ball on that and they're like, nah, let's just more focus on Goku and stuff, especially past the baby arc. That's kind of like, well, Pan is just kind of there sometimes. It was nice to see her back for traveling around to go find the Dragon Balls during the evil dragon arc. But then after that, it's like, oh, she gets knocked out and then... They even give her
Giru, which is supposed to be like the physical embodiment of like her character change. Like, oh, they used to like butt heads, but now like they care for each other and it's just not there. They even come back together after a while. Like, oh my God, I missed you. I'm like, no, you didn't. You never gave that impression or whatever. Even with Goku, she doesn't even like respect him. Only respects him when he's in Super Saiyan 4 mode. I feel like when he's back to a kid, she reverts back to treating him like a kid.
I think one thing that was going a little bit back towards discussing writing again, I think one of the things that's kind of a shame about GT is that you have so many great characters in Dragon Ball, and yet you only pretty much use Goku, Pan, and Trunks, and even Trunks after the Super 17 arc gets dropped hard. So you only get Goku and Pan. And even Vegeta, whenever he appears, it feels more like a cameo than anything else.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Even when you get him back in the Evil Dragons arc, it's like, well, we want Gogeta. But we can only have Gogeta if you have Vegeta.
We need this Vegeta guy.
Yeah.
That's so true. Yeah, I didn't even notice like how bad Trunks was dropped until we watched it again and you guys mentioned it. And like he's still in the intro as the number 3 guy, but not in the series.
No. Because... If you look at the original series, yeah, sure, you have a lot of Goku, but you also have a lot of development for the other characters. Even in the beginning, you have a lot of character development for Bulma, then for Yamcha, then for the Turtle Hermit. Even during Z, Goku wasn't even there for most of it. The Android arc is pretty much devoid of Goku. He only gets there by the very end. And then you get GT's like Goku overdose. And people is like... make fun of GT saying it's like Goku time because he gets overused.
Yeah. And even then, when they try to do the waiting for Goku thing, you end up with Sugoroku space. You end up with him going into hell and fighting Frieza and Cell again.
Oh, yeah. It shows how Z did it so well, because if you think back on Z, every character, side character, is in a position like somewhere in the world that makes sense at the time. In GT, it's like, why isn't Gohan going to help with this kind of mission or whatever? Like, that doesn't make sense.
Because they don't let Goku on the sidelines enough for us to miss him. So it's like, just Goku all the time, and obviously people are going to get a little bit tired because you keep on seeing the same character, and that's not how you make a really great story. And probably that's part of the reason why at least the baby arc worked a little bit better. I was about to say Weller, was because you had more characters. First of all, it wasn't just Goku and Pan. You also had Trunks. And then you had all the other characters that they met during their trip. And even when Baby got a little bit stronger, you had those episodes on Earth where you barely ever saw the main group. You had more development of Goten, of Gohan, of Vegeta, of Bulma, a lot more characters. And then after Baby, it's just like Goku, 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 Goku. Even Pan, after a while, she just drops off because, well, she got beat up off screen by the three-star dragon. Well, now it's Goku time. Yeah.
It's a bummer.
How did Super handle all this? Do you think they handled it better in the aspect of Goku time?
That is actually, well, not really my next topic, but we can skip one and then go back. How do you think that GT compares to Super overall in terms of its writing, in terms of the overall direction, in terms of its art style? What do you think?
There's no movement in Super at all.
What do you
mean?
The
story doesn't move at all. So, like, the Battle of Gods arc is all at Bulma's birthday party.
Oh.
Resurrection F is everyone hanging out at this one spot, fending off Frieza's goons, and then fighting Frieza himself.
Yeah.
The Goku Black arc has a few different locations, but they keep traveling back and forth between the same ones. Yeah. And then, of course, the Tournament of Power is a big puke green cylinder or top. Upside down
top. Yeah, you're right. I didn't think about that. It makes it feel, when it's spread out across the world, it makes it feel more like the stakes are bigger. Even though the stakes are just as big as Beerus are going to destroy your whole planet, it just being at Bulma's backyard feels very contained. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's these guys' problem that they have to fix, as opposed to like the whole world might have to chip in for this kind of issue.
Right. And then in GT, well, obviously you're going through space. You have a lot of movement in the Baby arc. You're going from different locations. You go to another planet.
Yeah.
And have a battle there. Super 17, really, there is movement, but not really in like a narrative.
There's not
sense.
Many episodes enough for there to be movement.
Yeah. And then in the Evil Dragons, you really turn into Monster of the Week, which is not my preferred type of storytelling.
No.
And then we even remarked on it as soon as the 4-star and 3-star dragons show up that they're in New York City for the rest of the series.
Yeah. And think about it. Think about the Buu saga takes like place within the span of like 2 days. Exaggerating? And we feel like we go everywhere, you know, like just 2 days, we are everywhere in the whole world. But this, nah.
And which series do you feel like handled the characters better? Not only in terms of the character development, but also using a lot of different characters. Super or GT?
Super.
Ken. Ooh, well, I mean, it's like we talked about Vegeta for me, right? And so first of all, I think it's apples and oranges almost, even though it's a great thing to discuss, because Super has the chains around it of having to end up at End of Z at some point, or so we assume. And GT, really, the sky was the limit for where they could take these characters. They didn't. Vegeta not being an active part of the story meant that that's probably what freed them up to be able to do Daddy Vegeta and not have to do constant Kakarot, I will defeat you all the time with him. Whereas Super is caught in the same circle over and over again of Goku and Vegeta. I mean, because these are the two characters really that I think is the biggest difference.
It at least gives them a good dynamic though. Like the characters are at least interesting because of this still. Like they manage it somehow still, I feel like.
I think Toyotaro has eventually figured out how to do Goku and Vegeta's rivalry in like a sweet way.
Yeah.
He's there now, but it was a real rough road to get there.
Right.
It's fine. You've already been interrupted once.
I appreciate it. I started doing a Super rewatch before we started doing GT, and then I put that on hold because I was watching GT. And then I thought, after we finished our homework, I'm going to get back to this. And I haven't, but just so that way I'd have a bit more comparative ideas, since now GT is so fresh in my mind. But if I have to think back on it, I think Super, just because we have access to more characters all of the time that we get to, you know, it's not always Goku. We can see how other characters are interacting, seeing how they're going to handle different situations, even if those situations aren't necessarily good or exciting. You know, we at least get some variety in there. Vegeta's there. I always love Vegeta, but yeah, you're right. You know, that we don't really get a lot of evolution for him because we're kind of stuck in this one little point in time. So we really can't do much. But overall, I don't know, like something about Super, its writing, its characters, its plots that it goes through are a bit more interesting to me than overall what happened in GT. Other than maybe the Baby arc. That one was really, really good.
I feel like Super gets the win in terms of using a lot of different characters and using them in more interesting ways than GT does, because GT is very one, it's very one note in terms of the characters it uses and in terms of the situations it puts them through. Well, Pan does have some development, but even then it could have gone even further. It didn't quite go far enough, in my opinion. But there is one thing about Super which I really dislike, but that I also dislike in GT for completely different reasons. Because in GT, Goku is horribly mischaracterized, especially towards the end. Because it's not really who Goku is supposed to be in that series. And if you, I was hearing all of your podcasts towards the end, and yeah, they keep on mischaracterizing him further and further the longer the series gets on. But then you go to Super, and there are some parts where Goku is so dumb, so childish. My God, it is painful to watch. It is yeah. painful to watch. And it's one of the reasons why I actually hear this very closely, Doug, why I started appreciating more the Super manga, because the characterization of especially Goku is oh so much better in really? The manga. Because so much better, my God. And because they don't make him a complete doofus who cannot control his impulses. By this point, Goku should be a master. He should be through so much character development. He should have seen so many things. And yet they play him off like a complete doofus. Yeah. It's like, it's painful to watch, because I don't really like Goku's characterization in GT, but at least it's not actively hurting me inside like Super. And then Vegeta had his moment of you are number one, and then you go to Super and it's almost like that never happened. I'm still like, I still have my rivalry with Kakarot. But like Ken said, again, the manga does a much better job of handling that, and I think GT handles it absolutely perfectly. To be honest, I think it's characterization-wise, I think they really, really nailed Vegeta.
Well, you convinced me. I'll read the Super manga.
Randy and I just played the 28th Tenkaichi Budokai DLC for Kakarot, and we recorded a Kanzenchu podcast episode, which is out. But one thing I forgot to touch on in that is that three separate times at least, they have someone say a perfectly normal word to Goku, and he acts like he's never heard that word before and repeats it back in like a babyish way.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wanted to scream because it was such annoying Super Goku writing.
You can see that it, like no one is safe from like think like losing track of who Goku the character is, like no matter what studio or time
He's a fine line you have to walk.
Yeah.
Goku's probably a very, very difficult character to write. But this, I was actually listening to your previous episode. And if you all want to pick reading the Super manga as your next project, I'm all in on it. I actually did a lot of extensive work on the Super manga for the Kanzenchu Wiki.
Yeah.
So trivia would be extremely easy to come up with.
No. He's too powerful. Guys, what have we done?
That laugh was too good.
Doug, think of it this way. I think that trivia for the Super manga would be easier because you're less likely to fall asleep reading.
That's true. That's very true.
More of an active process.
I could just fall asleep with my hand in the book.
Yeah.
It's not going to continue playing. So
that's true.
You won't be like, what happened in the last 10 minutes?
I got my Super Saiyan 5 bookmarks to be able to hold it back. So
there you go.
And how did you think that GT benefited or detracted? Like, what do you think if GT had a positive or negative influence on the Dragon Ball franchise as a whole?
I mean, it did kind of tank everything. So
that's true.
Yeah.
It was dead until the revival in like 2003 when they were doing the Dragon Boxes.
And even now, exactly. Everyone looks back on it like, yeah, GT, like with such disgust, even though it's been a while since I've seen it.
I don't think it deserves that. I think if you take, like I said, if you take the first 40 episodes of GT, you have a really strong product. It's just it falls apart after that.
I think that those last 22, 23, 24 episodes probably left such a bad impression. I think it's the only time since 1984, 1985, where you had such a long period of time without anything Dragon Ball. No new manga, no new animation, no new games, no nothing. Like, that's the... I don't know if anyone here watches One Piece. One Piece has the void century. It's like, Dragon Ball has the void half decade, which is between 1997 and 2002.
Yeah. Because,
my goodness.
I mean, there was, like, nothing between Final Bout and Budokai.
Exactly. Wow.
We talked about it in our toys episode where the Super Battle Collection ended and Doug had asked, like, well, then they did more. Like, no, like the franchise was dead. Like, we don't have anything else to really be selling or merchandising on. I was like, well, that's over.
So GT really did kill it. Like,
but also the interest of kids reading Jump at the time was changing. Kenshin, I think, was still going or had just started. Yu-Gi-Oh! Was out, obviously, and that was taking the world by storm. Mm-hmm. One Piece had started. So there were other things demanding people's time and attention than just Dragon Ball.
Even the revival was kind of a bit of a coincidence, a lucky coincidence for them, because even when they were putting out the Kanzenban and the first Budokai game, they were trying to sell the first Budokai game as kind of a nostalgic product for people that had grown up with Dragon Ball, and the Kanzenban kind of as well. And they didn't even contact each other about, like, having a coordinated media blitz regarding Dragon Ball. They just so happened to have the exact same idea. Well, not the exact same idea, but you get the point. Like, grabbing Dragon Ball again at the exact same time, and it just kind of, you know, they had a very strong synergy working with each other, because it was the first Budokai game, the Kanzenban, and also the Dragon Boxes, which also came around at the same time.
Wow. And I don't want to say that America is the most important thing in the world, but we had in 2000, I think, was like peak Dragon Ball time, is when we were getting the Android arc and stuff, that everybody was hungry for Dragon Ball now. Mm-hmm. We had the entire country really excited about it. Yeah. And then they dropped the Budokai game like a year later. So we were all like, yes, we need more of this.
So luckily us in the States, we didn't have that time gap.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's funny too, because the US, we were so behind in Dragon Ball blowing up. Like, you look at Latin America and you look at like France, you know, Dragon Ball had been there all along, and it wasn't. The US comes in 1999. Hey guys, Dragon Ball's going to blow up all of a sudden.
I think I don't remember the exact date, but I believe by 1999 here in Portugal, we'd already seen the entire series, GT included.
Wow.
So yeah.
I should say the dub started in 97, but like, 99 is when I got into it, so really, come on, guys. That's when we achieved pop culture in the
US. The Ken factor.
I don't get into stuff until it's massively popular. So.
The opposite hipster.
Ken is the anti-hipster.
Yeah.
So, guys, anything else you want to say? Final thoughts about GT now that it's been a month? You've had some time to let things cool down a little bit?
We'll never rewatch it again.
0 out of 10 will not rewatch.
Yeah, I've gave it its other chance, the second chance, and yeah, disappointed me again.
When you look back at your three Yixinglongs that you have back there, Doug, do you feel disgust or do you feel
love.
Indifferent?
That's weird though, isn't love? It? Yeah, it's just an awesome design character.
Yeah, I don't know. When I look at my Dragon Stars Yixinglong, I'm kind of like, oh. What, did I really need to buy you?
I'm still buying merchandise from GT. The story is what suffers. Everything else is great. The characters and design choices are fantastic. But
yeah,
I'm not sure if
I haven't bought an inflatable Dragon Ball GT thing from Japan that I might blow up later.
Go to the pool. Please, you need to specify what that is for the audio listeners.
It's a floaty. It's a one of those ring floaties for the pool.
Okay.
There's a little picture on. I know you can't see audio listeners, but it's a floaty.
Okay, it's Goku. Yeah.
I found it on my travels of buying figures. I found this. I'm like, yeah, I'll throw this in there. I'll buy this for. I'll okay this purchase.
I think that the first half of the show is good enough that I'm kind of like, yeah, I'm glad that this is around, and I'll probably watch it again. I don't know how soon, but maybe. And also, if it's just like part of a routine and it's set in, or if you know, it's like, if you have an abusive relationship, but you're still invested, that you're like, oh, I want to go back to it. But not having GT to watch for the past month has felt weird. So I don't know. It's part of me now.
Randy has Stockholm syndrome confirmed.
Yeah, you got it. It's part 100%. Of your legacy now.
Baby feels like he belongs in this franchise. I don't think I can say that about 17, Super 17, or the Evil Dragons.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Do I do like the One Star Dragon just because he's voiced by the third Hokage voice actor? Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. actually also the Six Star Dragon because he's voiced by the fifth Hokage, which is Tsunade. So yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. No wonder.
Yeah. It's the Six Star Dragon is the one you really like, right, Doug?
Yeah. The feet lady. Randy loves the feet.
What can I say?
No denying there, apparently.
So, is that it? We done with GT?
You got to tell us.
let's well, put it behind us.
If you want to say anything else, I'm more than happy to listen.
I got nothing.
About GT? I don't think so, buddy.
Well, we at least have the trivia score to listen to, but we'll get to that after the break. So welcome back, and Randy, it is time for the revelation. All you counted the points, so how much did each of us score overall during the GT episodes? I will just say, I will be happy with all the negative points I got, unfairly. I will be happy if I will be at a net zero.
Okay. Real quick for the audio listeners. All that crinkling you're hearing is Doug opening his inflatable, and now he's blowing it up. So just so you know.
It's a lot of air.
It's for the stress. It's for the stress. He needs to deal with the stress.
This is how he copes, Ken. I really wish you would leave the man alone.
I just want the audience to know what they're hearing.
Don't acknowledge you. I'm self-conscious.
Okay. So I listened back through all of our episodes, and I tried to stay pretty fair on how things were, because sometimes things get a little loosey-goosey where it's like, okay, we're not going to take a point away, whatever. If we made a good case for it, I'm like, all right, I'll listen to what we had to say. But I tried to stay fair to the rubric of how we had set it out, where, you know, you get it right, you get a point. If none of you got it right, Zenpai gets 2 points, and if we talked about it during the show, Zenpai loses a point. So the final thing, and I'm going to go in order from least to most, is we have Snorlax, which has 1 point and a gold star.
Good job, buddy. We're doing it.
Tyson has 2 points. This one is from Doug. Moms have 5 points.
You're welcome, moms.
Next, we have Doug with 17 points and one attaboy.
So we're not converting the attaboy over to points.
The attaboy means not. way more to me than points could, so thank you.
No problem. We'll leave that indeterminate. Doug, you decide how much an attaboy is worth in your own heart and soul. So that leaves 2 people left for the final score. Gentlemen, it was very impressive. Zenpai, you had 38 and a half points. Ken, 43. So
dude,
close.
It was close.
So close.
That's incredible. Holy crap.
We kept joking that, like, we got to get Zenpai back up to zero. He was kicking ass the whole time. There was so many 2 points, 2 points, 2 points. There was one here where Ken says, free week from Ken, where anything that would have been a negative one, we didn't take anything away. So I respected that. I also have here from episode 7, Sugoroku war crime, no points given or taken, because there was a question that was about in a future episode we hadn't watched. let's see. Oh, yeah. There was one that says, Ken grants mercy and says only half a point lost because of the importance of Dragon Ball episode 27 to this question. I don't remember what that was, but Ken had granted mercy instead of minus one. It was minus a half.
I love me granting the deity mercy.
Yeah, exactly. And then the Snorlax plus one and the moms, I just put a note of scores for this episode are off the rails.
Did they ever get back on the rails?
Right. The next episode is fine because we weren't passing out attaboys or gold stars. Moms weren't suddenly on the board, which I have to respect because
shame.
That's who we are.
It's a bad day for moms.
There was one point where you were explaining trivia and Doug jumps in and says, I think they know what trivia is. And Randy's like, not ours.
It's weird. So, yes, the final winner, Ken, Zenpai number 2,
yeah.
Doug. Doug, you're somewhere.
I'm here.
I don't know how much Nattaboy is.
I'm happy to play.
I will take my narrow second because I really, really thought I would be much lower. So I will take that.
congrats to everybody. You all did such a good job. So
yeah, yeah, I kept afloat during the competition.
Oh. I'm coming.
This thing tastes like 30 years of GT.
We had the trivia. Score. Now, are you guys ready? From trivia, directly from the deity.
Oh, this is where I make my comeback.
Here it comes.
And this time, Randy will also be answering.
Oh, yeah. So, look out, guys.
So, you guys know the drill. You either ding or you raise your hands. Whoever does it first gets the point. Well, does it correctly. So, let's see.
Bring it on.
Can you lose points?
I do? Okay, sure.
Well, if we somehow talked about it during the episode, but I don't have any GT questions, so...
I don't have you on the scoreboard for this new one, so it's just the three of us. So you can stay the god. We won't usurp you in any way, shape, or form.
I don't lose any points. I don't gain any points. It's all you three.
You're just constant. You're an always presence.
Exactly. So, question one. Content-wise, there is something that the physical editions of the Dragon Ball Super manga have that is not present in the digital editions. What is it?
Oh, well,
Randy.
Yeah, Ken.
No, Randy was first.
I had my hand up first. Okay. Is it Toyotaro commentary, like a thing at the end, like, here's what I thought while we were doing it, or, you know, kind of like the Toriyama.
The beginning thing where he's like, I was sick, but I still managed to, my editor kicked my
butt. Not what I had in mind, but I will take it. What were you about to say, Ken?
I was going to say the Obi that goes around the volume.
Oh.
Okay. Wow. You were closer to what I intended, but it was
the back art, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It was the secret cover behind the dust cover. Oh. But I will give the point to Randy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they do have that, like the Goku on the front, like at a restaurant, but then at the back, it's like Vegeta and Bulma.
It's generally just the original cover with different characters and a different color palette.
I remember that. That's cool.
But I will give the point. Exactly. There you go.
Like in volume 22 of Super Here, we've got the superhero crew, but then on the back,
if you take
it's
off,
Dr. Hedo.
Yeah.
And
that's so cool.
The bad guys.
Interesting.
I need to start collecting these.
We're doing it, guys. He's going to read it.
We found what it is. They each come with a figure, which is very cool.
You got me. Fun deal.
They just mail it to you later. So just have patience.
I'm in.
So, but since Randy also gave a correct answer, I will give the point to Randy.
Nice.
So I just get a point. Ken doesn't get one.
I gave two answers.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were both right.
Fine. Ken gets a point. Randy gets a point.
I just wanted to know.
You have to fight for your points, okay? That's how you get points.
You gave two different correct answers, so I will give two valid points to each of you. So Ken gets a point and Randy gets a point.
Great. Good, thank you.
So, question two. What are the names of the two Dragon Ball guidebooks released alongside the Kanzenban? Doug?
Oh, is it the super exciting guide? And I don't know the other one. I just have that one.
Ken?
It's the super exciting guide character volume and the super exciting guide story volume.
They're both super exciting character guides? Okay. I'll be so mad if it was.
Randy, you want to try?
Nope, I got nothing.
I wish I hadn't said I wouldn't be getting points this time, because then I would have gotten two. But it's Dragon Ball Landmark and Dragon Ball Forever.
The Landmark! That's right. The blue book and the...
Exactly.
Man.
I own them.
I should have known that one. I'm disappointed.
I don't know their names too much. That was like... They got bundled in with other stuff that I bought.
Question three. How many Dragon Ball games were released for the Nintendo DS? Randy.
So I'm going to think it through. There's Origins 1 and 2. Then there was Attack of the Saiyans. Then
this is cheating, by the way. You can't just think it through. You have to actually raise your hand and then give a number.
Ultimate Butoden. I'm going to say that's the four. I can't think of another one off the top of my head.
I'm going to top that.
Go ahead.
Five, Supersonic Warriors 2.
Oh! Yep. So, and isn't like Fusions also? Or did you already say that?
No, 3DS.
Oh, Ken, is that your final answer?
Just DS.
Oh, shoot. It's going to be another one.
It's six. You missed Haruka Naru Densetsu.
Densetsu. How could I forget?
Okay, but this is Price of Right rules, right?
I said how many, so you all missed.
All right.
I cannot be merciful all the time.
Thank
Fair
you,
enough.
Didi.
Fair enough. Maybe if they translated the title, I would have remembered.
True. It's kind of a mouthful.
What was this thing about that game? Was it like that we didn't get it in America, or that they didn't?
No, we did.
No, you did. You did.
They just left it called that.
So no one bought it.
Just in my brain, I'm going to remember that Mike played the voicemail he got from GameStop that was like, your pickup is ready for Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
Harukanaru Densetsu.
Yes! Remember that?
Oh, man, that's great.
Not to mention, you actually specified Ultimate Butoden despite that not getting a US release.
It's true.
Mm.
It was just so good, I had to mention it.
Yeah. Question four. What is the name of the version of Dragon Ball Z 2, also known as Dragon Ball Z Budokai 2, where you could play as Frieza's son, Kuriza? Ken?
Yeah, it's Dragon Ball Z 2V, right?
Dragon Ball Z 2V. Ken gets the point.
Or in America, the greatest hits
version. Wrong game.
The Budokai 3.
That was 3.
Never came out in America.
Damn it.
Never came out. Anything anywhere else, actually.
And wasn't it only through like V-Jump? So it was like a limited printing?
Yeah, it was
printing. Something
special. I don't remember the details right now, but you had to do some thingamajig. Mm.
They love doing that.
Someone just recently dumped a ROM of it, right?
And
they did.
English patched it. So exactly. You can play it.
Steam Deck verified?
I play it on Steam Deck. You can play it emulated
Randy,
right
Randy
there.
Verified.
I got you.
Question five. How many chapters does Nekomajin have? Randy?
Doug. No, Doug was up first.
Oh, yeah, Doug. Because I forget he raises the figure.
Five.
Okay, anyone else want to have a go?
Six.
Man, it's like eight?
Ken gets the point. It's eight.
Whoa.
Because it also includes Mikke and Z.
So. Because it's two Nekomajin is here chapters, Nekomajin Gairu, one Nekomajin Mikke, and five Nekomajin Z chapters. So it's eight.
Now, the real trick to that answer, guys, was there's one volume of Nekomajin, and about how many chapters are in a volume of manga?
Mm-hmm. See, I just thought maybe they were longer ones, you know? So we could cut it down to six.
It's exactly eight. Question six. In which episode of Dragon Ball does Goku finally reunite, knowingly, with his deceased grandfather, Son Gohan? I want the number of the episode.
Dang.
109.
That sounds way too confident for me to say anything else.
I'm going to guess 84.
I'm gonna just one-up Ken, 110. Closest to zero.
Well, Randy was closest, but this is not Price is Right rules. It's episode 76.
Oh man.
Even with Price is Right rules, we all lost.
Yeah.
All too high.
It's episode 76. Question 7. What were the names of the two character designers for the Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z TV series? Kareni.
Minoru Maeda and it's not Yamamuro. It was... No. It was... No. Wait. I'll say Yamamuro, but I know that's wrong.
Anyone else want to have a go?
Maeda is one of them, but suddenly I feel like there's a trick answer, so I'm just gonna defer to Randy on this.
I want to do a second try if nobody else wants to get it.
Do Doug and Ken allow Randy to have a second try?
As former champion, yes.
Minoru Maeda. Oh, go ahead, yeah? Doug. Do you allow me?
Yeah. Let me guess my answer first. Maeda and Toriyama. Duh.
All right,
Randy, go ahead. Yeah.
Minoru Maeda and Nakatsuru.
That's correct. Minoru Maeda, Katsuyoshi Nakatsuru.
Yeah.
Because Maeda wasn't up until the Frieza arc, and then Nakatsuru took over the role from the Android arc onwards, and Yamamuro was there for the latter movies.
Yep.
I feel like Doug should get half a point here with Toriyama. Because Toriyama did design some filler characters.
Yeah, this doesn't make sense to me.
don't deny me my point.
Point for Randy.
There's one artist.
So, question 8. Unlike every other Dragon Ball Super production, Superhero has a different composer attached to the project, which is, what is its name?
Its name?
Sorry, what is his name?
Oh, okay.
It's a man.
I never looked this person up to know who did it. So I don't know.
Me either. I was just like, where is Sumitomo?
Doug, do
I'm
you
gonna
know?
I'm going to say Danny Elfman.
Whoa. Hans Zimmer.
Unfortunately not. The name is Naoki Sato.
Mm. Ah.
So,
dang.
Question 9. In Dragon Ball Super Superhero, Pan has a t-shirt with the drawing of a devil and the letters GTH. Oh. What do the letters most likely stand for? Randy.
Damn it. Go to hell.
Go to hell. That is correct. Awesome. Point for Andy.
Oh, sorry. Right. I was just being angry at you, for
These trivia suck. Go to
hell. You cannot tell the deity to go to heaven, to hell.
I think it means goth, signaling her goth phase. Yeah, coming in about totally. 10 years.
At three, that's kind of early.
I got so excited. I was looking at my pan figure real quick, like, oh, is the answer on there?
Tell me. Yeah. Tell me, pan figure. What do you whisper?
It's go to HFIL, guys.
Yeah, go to HFIL. Half a point there.
So, question 10. How many chapters long was the Black and Zamasu arc in the Dragon Ball Super manga? Doug.
I'm just kidding. Why the hell would I know that?
How many volumes was it? It was like 17 volumes because it kept going.
Oh, crap. Really?
I'm going to guess 30.
I'm going to guess 25.
You want to have a go, Doug?
No, I don't.
One chapter too many.
One chapter too many.
The correct answer is 13.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Less than you thought, yeah.
Question 11. How many chapters does Jocko the Galactic Patrolman have?
Does this...
Ken.
Seven.
Anyone else want to have a go? Randy.
11.
I will give the point to Randy.
Because that includes DB minus.
No, it's 11 without DB minus, but I will give you the point.
Okay. Oh. You're actually even more correct.
Question 12. What are the names of the plants grown by the Namekians?
Oh, yeah. Ooh, Ajisa trees.
Okay.
The what?
You kind of raised your hands at the same time, but since Randy just got a point, I'm going to give the point to Ken. It's the Ajisa trees.
Okay, well, could I bring something up?
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to search something real quick.
Oh, here we go.
Hold on.
Bring it home.
I'm interested. What's the argument you're about
to
make?
Yeah, what is he? So, there's actually an English word for this.
Hydrangea?
Oh, because you can't leave it as there we go.
It's not the same thing, because hydrangeas in Japanese are ajisai, whereas these are called ajisa. It's written explicitly different.
Yeah, gotcha. Thanks, Gerard Jones.
That's why when I was working on something, I came across, I'm like, wait, they just called it that? That's not right. Oh, it is? Okay,
it
whatever.
It is close, but it's not the same word.
Okay.
Question 13. What is the European version of Dragon Ball Z2, or Dragon Ball Z Budokai 2, notable for? The European version of this game for the GameCube, specifically. Ken.
Running at 50 frames per second.
Probably, but not the answer I'm looking for.
So, it's got a... What is different about the European GameCube version of Budokai 2?
Exactly.
Is it hand up, Randy, different box art?
I was thinking that too.
Well, the box art is actually the same for the PlayStation 2 version. So there's something that only the European GameCube version has.
Japanese voice acting.
Bingo! It's the only version of the game to come in Japanese language with subtitles. Because the PlayStation 2 version was dub only.
That was a Hail Mary guess, wasn't it, Randy? And you got it.
Yeah, because didn't Budokai 1, wasn't that Japanese
Budokai
with
1?
English subtitles?
Budokai 1 was Japanese language, but it was for both the GameCube and the PlayStation 2 versions. Whereas Budokai 2 only had Japanese language in the GameCube version.
Interesting. Okay.
Wow. Now, did it have subtitles, or were they dubbed titles?
No. They had subtitles.
Wow. I mean, totally different subtitle track?
I'm pretty sure it was the exact same script, but at least you could hear the Japanese voices.
So dubbed subtitles.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
That's point. 0-1 points for me. I'll thank you.
Only if Senpai says so.
You give him the 0.1 points. I don't really
Alrighty.
Care.
A very lax deity.
Now it turns out that this is the point that lets him take the win. Now, question 14. What other characters is the voice actor for Zamasu known for playing in other shows? I will take any correct answer as long as you give it first.
I don't watch enough anime to be able to tell you
this. Me neither. Can't even hear his voice right now.
Has he been around for a long time? Like, would it be from something like... Okay.
Oh yes.
Is his name like Shinichi Mito or something like that?
He's Lupin.
The name? Well, actually, I didn't write it down. This is kind of really bad on my part.
Wow, how embarrassing.
Doug.
I think it is. I think it is Shinichi Mito.
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know. Is he Kenshin?
No.
Okay.
Anyone else want to have a go?
Ichigo.
No.
He is in Bleach, but no.
Yeah, Ichigo is Whis.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't remember the name.
But yeah, I don't know.
He's in Bleach? I don't know. Kenpachi, yeah. Which would be wild.
No, not at all. So, he is the voice actor for Kojiro, or James, in Pokemon.
Oh.
Okay.
He is also Urahara Kisuke in Bleach.
Mm.
Okay, I see that.
Roy Mustang in Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Oh. Wow.
And also Pedro in One Piece.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm like
the cat guy.
I'm like recalling like a Twitter post of like this, like these images of these characters, and like this voice actor voices all these.
Mm. Or like when they do those Toei Animation birthday things.
Yeah.
Question 15. How many panels does the newborn Piccolo Jr. appear in the manga?
Ooh.
Randy.
Just one.
Exactly one. Wow. That's his correct point for Randy.
All right, now everybody show their baby Piccolo figures. I've got mine up here.
You can't see mine off screen, but...
Question 16. What was the first Dragon Ball manga volume not to have a dedicated title page gallery at the end?
Wow.
These are such deep...
Golly. I'm going to guess 26.
Anyone else want to have a go?
No.
I have no idea. I don't have any touchstone for this.
It is actually volume 2.
2?
Wow.
It's volume 2.
Why?
Darn.
I have no idea. They did one a title page gallery for volume 1, and I'm pretty sure they did for, if not all the other ones, at least most of the other ones, but volume 2 just does not have it. Hmm. That's why the Kanzenban release was so notable, because you could finally have those printed out.
Wow. See, I was looking through the Viz releases, and for some reason, regular Dragon Ball, they're good about having all the title pages, either if it had to be used as part of the story, that they're interwoven, otherwise there's a gallery at the end. But in Z, just randomly sometimes, like, yeah, we don't got them. Or one time, there's a chapter title cover page for one that doesn't show up for another volume. It's like, what are you guys doing? It just didn't make any sense.
Viz.
Yeah.
Question 17. Which famous Dragon Ball Z track is notorious for being seldom included in official albums and or remixes?
I'm going to guess Battle Point Unlimited.
Correct. Point for Randy.
Dang, Randy's killing it.
He finally got to show off his chops.
It's true. I didn't get to compete before, so I got to come in hot and strong.
He's been keeping his chops in hiding.
So, question 18. Which band has what is likely the only instrument autographed by Akira Toriyama himself? Randy.
Maximum the Hormone.
Correct.
Dang.
I was going to guess Tower of Power, actually.
Oh.
Led Zeppelin.
You go for it. You tell the story.
Yeah, so there's this very interesting story where Maximum the Hormone were playing in Nagoya, and then before they got to backstage, they were told, you know, there's this person on your backstage. And then they got in. It was Akira Toriyama. And he gave every single one a unique illustration, and the bassist, Uechang, got his bass scribbled autographed. On by Toriyama and autographed. I remember Mike and Hugio talking about this in the Kanzenshu podcast, and Hugio saying the epic line, I would flip. So I never forgot this story ever since.
Can you imagine, though? That'd be so wild. Someone backstage here for you. Toriyama. What?
I mean, especially considering he's so reclusive. It's like, you just go do your job. It's like, oh, well, you know, there's Akira Toriyama in the back. If I were drinking coffee, I would just like...
Well, first,
it's
I'd
hard
ask.
To imagine Toriyama at a show like theirs,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Or him listening, or him enjoying their music at all, right? I mean, I guess we don't know then, the guy like
then
that.
Then again, supposedly he got the idea for Resurrection F while he was in his house listening to F. So probably he does listen to it.
So it's their fault.
Yes. Question 19. In 2017, to celebrate the Dragon Ball TV series 30th anniversary, yes, I know they're a little bit late, Japan Railway, also known as JR, collaborated with Toei to make a special promotional event. What event is that? Randy.
Did they paint the train to be Dragon Ball themed?
No. Doug.
Did they host like a marathon, like a 5K run?
No. Do you want to have a go at it, Ken?
I have no idea.
So the question is, they had a stamp rally encompassing all 65 of the JR stations in Tokyo. And how do I know this? Because I have it. I should have actually brought it for the video version, but it's over there.
Did you have to go to all 65 stations to get a stamp, and then like you get something if you...
Actually, no, because when I went to Japan in 2017, there was I had two friends of mine living there, and one of them knew I was a massive Dragon Ball fan, and she saw the Steppen Rally was going, so she did it, and just gave the final product to me. Yeah, you wouldn't believe. I hugged her so hard, I think I heard ribs cracking.
How long would that take to do?
I think about a week.
60?
And like... How annoying would that be? You're just trying to get to your destination and there's all these Dragon Ball fans trying to get their stamps.
Trains are always on time, though.
Would they all be old people, you know? Because Dragon Ball's a broader franchise.
Old farts like us. So, question 20. How many playable characters has the first Dragon Ball Z as a Budokai game?
I'm going to guess 16.
26.
Ken.
20.
You're all really close, but all of you are wrong because it's 23.
Price is right.
Question 21 and final question. What is my personal favorite edition of the manga?
Personal favorite?
Yeah.
So your favorite release of the
manga. Randy.
The digest editions.
Anyone else want to have a go?
Well, I would hope that it was a digest editions, but I'm going to say that's just the original Tankobon.
It's the full color.
Oh. Check this out.
Doug, that was going to be Doug's answer.
Yeah, you knew.
You didn't give him a chance.
Yeah. Well, then I give a point to Doug.
Yes.
All right. Then I give a point to Doug.
Let's go.
Because I took the point away from him. So Doug gets a point.
Good job.
So, Randy, what's the score?
All right. Third place, we have Doug with 1 point.
Nailed it in.
Ken with 4.1.
Yeah.
And me with 8.
Yay.
4.1.
The new self-allotted champion.
Point.
I'm trying to think. I'm not sure if I missed out on giving Ken a point or two. Because, you know, you'd have those moments. You ever drive and you're like, I don't remember the last, 5 miles.
How did I get here?
Yeah. Autopilot kicks in too hard.
So there might be one or two points missing from Ken, but, you know, if it's one or two, I still win.
Yeah. As usual.
So Randy gets the win.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Good job, Randy.
Enjoy this while you can.
There will be retribution.
Ken is going to be practicing trivia for every day for a while, just waiting for a moment. So that way, when it comes to a new trivia, he's going to be destroying all
of us. He's at bars doing trivia for other themes, but still answering Dragon Ball questions. Maeda.
Sorry, the answer was baseball. Please leave, you weirdo.
So, thanks for listening. The fine folks here at We Got a Podcast love interacting with you and keeping you in the conversation, talking about our favorite franchise in the world. Post them on socials at We Got a Pod or email them at wegotapod@gmail.com.
Thank you to Rifty Beats for letting us use his track, Kakarot Theme Hip Hop Trap Remix. You can find that and other great music from him on his SoundCloud. Ken, where can the good people find you?
Well, you can find me at DetectiveX on Twitter and on the latest episode of Konzenchu the Podcast with Randy and Mike.
That's true. You can find me on Threads and Blue Sky as at Saber_Breaker. And I'm also, on that Konzenchu episode. Zenpai, where people find you?
Well, people can find me at Twitter at JRDEMR, which is kind of a mouthful, but yeah, that's where people can find me. But just search for Zenpai. It's probably easier.
And you can find me at JabazDoug on TikTok, YouTube Shorts. I guess it's on We Got a Pod, YouTube Shorts. But you cannot find me on the Konzenchu podcast because I do not care about the Kakarots video game.
He'll bring you on for something else soon, I'm sure.
Or trivia.
So as always, thank you for listening. We promise we're done talking about GT now. So from here on, it's... no more Goku time. It's done. We're never talking about that character again. It's all about Gohan, Vegeta, Goten. No, Doug, don't do it.
We're done with GT, right? We're done with GT.
No, Doug.
Make sure you follow us on Blue Sky, where you can now get in without needing an invite or anything like that. Subscribe, tell your moms, and don't forget to tell your dads, too. We can't be exclusive
all inclusive.
Yeah, we got to tell your dads, too, yeah. Make sure you leave us a review. Now, before we finish off here, Randy, we have some stuff in our mailbag. Is that correct?
In our mailbag?
That we've been neglecting at We Got a Podcast Gmail account. And again, you can email us at wegotapod@gmail.com. We forgot to check it, and so a few things have amassed in here.
That's true.
And we should also go over our Spotify.
That's true. So
feedback.
First, I'll bring up a more recent email here from Ken Aramdi. I apologize if I pronounced it incorrectly. It says, after you finish reviewing GT, would you consider reviewing the new Dr. Slump crossover, number 56 to 59 from 1999? It's not associated with GT, but it is the next bit of new Dragon Ball and the last for quite a while. And it has been fan-subbed, so we can always look for that to enjoy it.
Yes. Yes. It is planned.
I was going to say, did we talk about that? I feel like we did talk about
that. Yes. Yeah, we did. Nice. Okay. We don't know when this email came in, but yes, we are going to be talking about that at some point.
No, not dissing that. Dissing my memory. I can't remember. Like, did I have a fever dream, and did we talk about this already? I feel like we should have.
We'll talk about our more recent episode that went up on Spotify. Granted, it's only been a few days because we're recording this a little earlier than we normally would. But in our Q&A, we had asked, what's your favorite piece of Dragon Ball merchandise? Jacob Sawyer shouted out, my favorite is a poster from Kahasuk. Sorry if I don't know how to pronounce that one. Included a link, and it's his favorite because it is my four-year-old son's favorite. He knows most of the character names now.
Aww,
that's adorable.
Oh, I love that. That's great.
And Sabin says, not sure it's a favorite, but recently bought a PS2 controller with Super Saiyan Goku on it. His hair lights up when the controller rumbles.
What?
Oh. Yeah.
Doug's like, I gotta have that.
I would love that. Yeah, I'm playing Final Fantasy Rebirth with that.
And we asked people, have you been bitten by the figure collecting bug? And there are four options, and I will give them. The number one is, yep, I'm in deep. And a three-way tie for the rest of yes, but only some, or no, but I'm curious, or nope, and don't care.
Nice, so, nice. Those are all the right good mindset. Yeah, mindsets, yep.
So that brings us to an end here on this trivia wrap-up retrospective of We Got a Podcast. And we will catch you, Matinator.
Jaminasan, konkai no We Got a Podcast tokubetsu-hen o kitte kurete arigatou gozaimasu.
Unplug him. Get him out. He's hacked in for too long.
You're out of here.
Sneak.
Whoa.